Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana joining us next hour of the show. He actually grew up in Tehran, Iran. Grew up there back when it was a peaceful country, back before the terrorists took over Tehran under the Jimmy Carter era. And then, of course, there's basically been a forever war with Iran ever since that moment. But what? Look at everything that's going on in Iran right now. Is it finally about time that the world is ridded of the terrorist regime in Tehran? We're going to talk about that and much more with Dr. Mehrdad Kia. He is not only one of the most popular professors on the University of Montana campus, but he is the expert when it comes to the Middle East, Southwest Asia, Iran, and so much more. So looking forward to catching up with him next hour of the show. That means this hour, we're going to try to pack a lot in. We want to take your phone calls if you got something you want to talk about. Plus, there's a whole bunch of news to get to here this morning. Shoto, Montana. Look out, Shoto, Montana. Let's start there. Speaking of Iran, you guys know what the Ayatollah looks like, right? He's got that long gray beard. You know, he's pretty up there in years now, right? He's got those MSNBC glasses on. Looks a lot like David Letterman. And I'm assuming David Letterman still owns a ranch in Shoto, Montana, but this was hilarious. Adam Carolla, the comedian and actor Adam Carolla, shared a side-by-side photograph of the Ayatollah of Iran and of David Letterman. And he says, Letterman should probably lay low for the next few weeks just to be safe. Because, yeah, President Trump has made it very clear. He knows exactly where the Ayatollah is. And the only reason the Ayatollah is still alive is because President Donald Trump is keeping him alive. Lots to talk about here on this Wednesday morning. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. This is what President Trump shared about 22 hours ago on X and on Truth Social. He says, we know exactly where the so-called supreme leader is hiding. He is an easy target, but is safe there. We are not going to take him out. And then he put kill in parentheses, at least not for now. But we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers. Our patience is wearing thin. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Now, the other thing that President Trump shared on social media early yesterday was this. We now have complete and total control of the skies over Iran. Iran had good sky trackers and other defensive equipment and plenty of it, but it doesn't compare to American-made, conceived, and manufactured stuff. Nobody does it better than the good old USA. All right, we'll hold it right there. Lots to talk about. Again, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Ilhan Omar and what she had to say about the United States of America. I think we'll start there next.
It's June 18th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Splurge Day. Go ahead and treat yourself to something magnificent. You deserve it. Also on this day in 1983, Sally Ride becomes the first American woman in space.
STS-7 and America's first woman astronaut.
Ride serving as a mission specialist on the Shuttle Challenger. President Jimmy Carter and Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev signed the SALT II nuclear treaty in 1979. The deal provided for limitations and guidelines for nuclear weapons, but it never formally went into effect. In 2000, Tiger Woods, with a record-setting victory to capture his first U.S. Open championship, his 15-shot victory at Pebble Beach breaks old Tom Morris's record for the largest margin of victory in a major championship of 13 strokes, which had stood since 1862. Born on this day in 1942, Paul McCartney of Beatles fame.
Love was such an
I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago now, and we were down at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, the world's biggest gun show, and I got to go to a cool event at an indoor shooting range down off the strip. And, you know, you're at this reception, you're talking to a lot of folks, you look at their name tag and, you know, say hi, how you doing? I'm looking at this guy's name tag, and his name is Kyle Lamb. And I'm sitting there, and I said, Kyle Lamb. I was like, Kyle Lamb. I was like, why do I know the name Kyle Lamb? And then I figured it out. I was like, holy cow, this is retired Sergeant Major Kyle Lamb. The Kyle Lamb who served during Black Hawk Down, Kyle Lamb. Yeah, that Kyle Lamb. And, yeah, we actually had Kyle Lamb join us on the show because back in April of 2019, he was calling out this Democrat Congresswoman, Ilhan Omar, the radical Islamic member of Congress from Minnesota, because she once again attacked the incredible American troops who basically risked their lives, some gave all, for her Somali countrymen. And what she had to say here this week, you're going to hear the audio here in a second. She just needs to go back to Somalia. If she despises this country and what we stand for so much, if she can't say thank you to the very U.S. Army and celebrate the 250th birthday of the U.S. Army that went in and risked their lives and some gave their lives to help her fellow Somalis, and then she comes here and spits on them, basically, on American soil, go back to Somalia. But, yeah, back in 2019, a 2017 tweet from Ilhan Omar had resurfaced where she attacked American forces for, as she put it, killing thousands of Somalis during the Battle of Mogadishu in October of 1993. And so Kyle Lamb, a retired sergeant major who spent, the bulk of his two-decade-plus service with U.S. Army Special Operations, he went after her. First off, he described the real history about the Battle of Mogadishu, and he described the terrorist warlord who was spreading terror and death and killing Somali citizens and basically torturing them and preventing everyday Somali citizens from getting access to basic food and medical supplies. And then he had this to say about Ilhan Omar. He says, I'm thankful Omar and her family and countless others were able to escape to neighboring Kenya while we fought to protect those left behind. But I simply cannot comprehend her attitude towards those of us who fought to protect her country and countrymen from warlords who plunged Somalia only further into violence and starvation. I'm glad that Omar can now enjoy the very freedoms we fought to protect, like the freedom of speech and the free exercise of religion affirmed in the U.S. Constitution. But I don't understand why she uses those freedoms to slur the men and women of the U.S. military who made her security and liberty a reality. The simple truth is that Omar enjoys the fruits of American combat deaths, yet she can't even bring herself to acknowledge the ultimate sacrifice that was made on her behalf, either as a Somali or an American. That was retired Sergeant Major Kyle Lamb. He wrote that back in 2019. This now is the audio. Grabian Media shared this. the DailyWire.com has the story. I think it was on Fox and Friends earlier this morning as well. But this is what Ilhan Omar had to say about the United States Army's 250th birthday and the military parade that just took place on Saturday in our nation's capital.
A democracy, a beacon of hope for the world to now be turned into one of the worst countries where the military are in our streets without any regard for people's constitutional rights, while our president is spending millions of dollars propping himself up like a failed dictator with a military parade.
Yeah, go back to Somalia. You know, John Fetterman, the Democrat senator from Pennsylvania, oddly enough, he gets it. Here's John. We'll have more on Ilhan Omar here in just a second, but at least one Democrat gets it. Here's Democrat Senator John Fetterman out of Pennsylvania. He was on with Bill Hemmer yesterday. And by the way, the radical left-wing protesters on Saturday were criticizing Fetterman, too. Because you have to be all against ICE. You have to be all against celebrating the U.S. Army's 250th birthday, apparently, to be a Democrat today.
Well, I think two things can be true. I think absolutely my unapologetically supportive of Israel and a secure border and refuse to vote to shut the government down. I have absolutely I've taken a hit with from the base. I'm not sure why Democrats would boo a fellow Democrat, but that's their prerogative now. And now with that military parade. Again, you know, there was no goose stepping. And Alex, first of all, let's say stop ever comparing anyone, anything to the Nazis and those kinds of things. That's crazy. And now remember, that's our soldiers. That's, you know, this is not an occupying force. You know, this is a 250, you know, anniversary for the Army. Why? I'm not sure why it's outrageous to have a parade to celebrate the Army. Now, look at that video that's on the screen now. That's not, you know, like some kind of like, anything extreme. It's celebrating, you know, a quarter of a millennia about the American Army. I don't understand why that's controversial.
Yeah, exactly. And yet Ilhan Omar trashes the very Army that saved her on American soil.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You might as well stick a fork in the old Republican economic growth strategy because it's done. The machinations of the tax and spending bill making its way through Congress are the end of the road for an idea that defined the party since the days of Reagan. The idea was simple, even if it has been a political failure. Cut tax rates and broaden the base. Eating your vegetables to have your dessert, you might say, and or at least rein in the urge to reward and punish behavior in the tax code through the use of endless deductions and credits. And in doing so, we can lower the tax rates to reduce the load that taxes place on economic activity, spurring higher growth. The current version of this old mantra has two doses of dessert, lower rates and a narrower base. Tips, interest on car loans, overtime, together with a continuation of the lower rates due to expire in the old Trump tax cuts in the first term, it's a double whammy to tax revenues that bond markets have noticed. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. During the summer months, it's easy to see surging monthly electric bills as you crank up your air conditioner. But there are ways to combat those high costs, according to Consumer Reports, like giving your system a break. Try using ceiling fans or tower fans to help cut costs and use less energy. Most homes can raise the thermostat a bit higher with the use of fans. And also check your weather stripping to make sure your home isn't too drafty. You can also install a smart thermostat. Many people forget to adjust their thermostat, so with a programmable thermostat, you can program and forget. And think about getting an in-window AC unit. If you have one room that gets warm easily, this can be a budget-friendly solution. And if you're installing a new HVAC system, consider getting a maintenance contract. They do typically cost around $150 to $500 a year. However, the additional expense may be worth it in the long run. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I know I said I was going to go back to Ilhan Omar, but enough of Ilhan Omar and her anti-military, anti-America BS and garbage. Let's switch topics here. By the way, if you got something you want to talk about, phone lines are open for you. We've got a busy 9 o'clock hour coming up. Let's see. What do we got coming in on the Montana Talks app? Let's see. Oh, good question for Dr. Mehrdad Kia. I don't even know if I can pronounce some of these Iranian names. So I will save that question for Dr. Kia coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Maria, I think Maria's in Bozeman. She just messaged us about Democrat Senator John Fetterman. She says Fetterman just needs to leave the Democrat Party. The truth is you can't be for anything positive or productive or helpful and be a Democrat these days. It seems like that's what Fetterman is kind of finding out here, is that you can't stray from the radical far left agenda at all, or they will start to target you. I mean, speaking of Minnesota, I mean, this tragic, just sickening political assassination of the lawmaker in Minnesota, the state legislator in Minnesota. After the news broke, I sent a message to Minnesota State Representative Dawn Gilman. Two of her sons play football for the University of Montana. Are just a solid Christian guys and great football players. And so they just seem like such a neat family. I got to meet them at one of the games, I think last fall or the year before. But I sent a note to her, and she just talked about, you know, how saddened she was by this political assassination on this, you know, Democrat Minnesota lawmaker. And what was interesting to me about that woman being targeted, the woman who was killed in Minnesota, is that she was actually, I think, the only Democrat in the Minnesota State Legislature that voted to stop paying for health care for illegal aliens. And then she was targeted in this assassination on Saturday. But Representative Dawn Gilman out of Minnesota, she told me, she says, yeah, she was, you know, one of the, you know, because Minnesota is a Democrat-dominated state right now. You've got Ilhan Omar. You've got, you know, Tampon Tim Walz. I mean, that's why the city of Minneapolis is such a freaking mess right now. That's why Minnesota is such a mess right now. That's why so many folks that I met all across Montana that now live in Montana, they fled Minnesota in just the last 4 or 5 years for very obvious reasons. But she says, you know, this lawmaker, she was, you know, one of the few Democrats that we could actually work with in a bipartisan way to actually get some common sense things done and to get some things done. And so much hatred was directed towards her because of the fact that she was a Democrat who actually, this was a state representative, Melissa Hortman. She had so much hatred directed towards her because she actually would work with the Republicans, and she actually would make some common sense decisions, like, for example, stop giving taxpayer funds to illegal aliens to get free health care. And that's the woman who was assassinated. And so it's just so disgusting to see what is going on in the streets of America right now. And yes, a guy like John Fetterman, you know, to actually the guy who survived a brain injury, to be the only one that seems to be able to use his brain on that side of the aisle back in Washington, D.C., and then to get attacked for what? For supporting Israel? Supporting Israel is the America First agenda. That's what, you know, both parties have typically stood up for Israel. But now the Democrats are the, you know, You know, look at the embrace of the anti-Semitism that they've embraced. Supporting border security? No. Fetterman's learning, no, you can't support border security. The Democrat Party base will try to have you run out of office for doing that. I mean, and then saying, hey, it's the U.S. Army's 250th birthday. This should be a moment of national unity. We all should be able to support that. And then now you've got Democrats like Ilhan Omar saying that's the reason why we have become one of the worst countries, is because we're celebrating the great men and women of our United States Army in 250 years of service and sacrifice sacrifice to make this country free. I said it on Monday, but my favorite thing about watching the highlights of that military parade was the joy on the faces of those soldiers and how happy they were to be recognized. And how many soldiers over the past, 20 plus years when we were at war didn't get parades? And, it's like finally something to celebrate our great U.S. Army on their 250th birthday. And the Democrats had to choose that day to do their big anti-Trump rallies. And they did it specifically because they did not want to celebrate the 250th birthday of the United States Army. All right, let's go back to Israel and Iran. We're going to be talking more about this coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Mark Levin unloaded last night on Sean Hannity's program. So you are seeing some Trump supporters out there who are basically, pushing back at President Trump's effort to protect America from the nuclear threat in Iran. Let me say this first. TheDailyWire.com ran the numbers. Yesterday, I think John Jackson and I were talking about how for 10-plus years, President Trump has consistently, at practically every Trump rally, for 10 years, President Trump has been consistently clear that terrorists in Tehran cannot get access to a nuclear weapon. He has never wavered in that stance. The White House, this is from TheDailyWire.com, listed 15 times Trump said that Iran cannot be allowed to have a nuclear weapon since he began his second term in January 2025. And over 40 times while on the campaign trail or during his first term. The earliest example listed is from a tweet back in 2011, 14 years ago, where Trump described Iran's quest for nuclear weapons as a major threat to our nation's national security interests. And then you guys might remember the 2012 elections here in Montana. I remember talking about it on the radio at the time. Randy Vogel, I think he was serving as state director for then Congressman Denny Rehberg. And now down the hall from me, of course, are Mark and Paul, the Breakfast Flakes on the country station down the hall from me here. And I think Paul Mushaven was the first one to call Tehran John Tester Tehran John, because back then it was very clear that Iran wanted to develop nuclear weapons and that the Obama regime was trotting out a phony deal that would only make that more likely. And so that's why John Tester, the former Democrat senator from Montana, earned the nickname Tehran John Tester. Well, now that time that everybody has been talking about, that everybody's been warning about, that time is upon us, where Israel knew that if they did not act to mitigate this existential threat, I mean, look at what everything. Iran was behind everything that happened on October 7th, the invasion of Israel, the rape and murder of so many Israelis and people from all these other countries, and then the hostages. If they get their hands on a nuclear weapon, they won't just take out Israel. They will come for the United States of America as well. But listen to Mark Levin unload on Hannity's program last night.
We have fought these bastards for 47 years, half a century. They go on with their bumper stickers, forever wars, forever wars. Well, guess what? The Israelis are going to put an end to this forever war, and so will Donald Trump. Then I hear the questions, well, how much does the United States want to get involved? Well, I don't know. They want to have intercontinental ballistic missiles to hit the United States with nuclear warheads. How do we know? They've said so, death to America. And they said, that's not a slogan, that's reality. Really? In World War II, a lot of the countries didn't even have advance notice. We have advance notice. They want intercontinental ballistic missiles. They're plain English. Plain English. They want nuclear warheads, and they're going to hit us with them. Okay. I'm a warmonger because I think that these 7th century primitive barbarians with 21st century technology should be removed so that we can protect our country, our families, our children? If this is not a reason to defend ourselves, then give me one. An Islamo-Nazi regime with a nuclear warhead, intercontinental missiles that have threatened to assassinate the President of the United States. Gee, and we have morons, fools, running around the country. This isn't MAGNA. This isn't MAGNA. This isn't what I voted for. Donald Trump is a forever war president. How so? He's going to do what every president before him since Carter didn't have the guts to do. He's going to put an end to this damn thing.
Yeah, what a response there from Mark Levin. The great one himself, who many of you hear on these very same radio stations here later today. He was on with Hannity last night. Hey, all this craziness in the news is another great reminder that we live in Montana. How many of you have lived in Montana your entire lives and you still haven't seen it all? Hey, for the next few weeks, we are doing a Montana tourism promotion and giving you the chance to win an incredible tourism package. So each week we highlight a different tourism region. This week we are highlighting Glacier Country. And we like to share a little bit of trivia in the process as well. What about the world's first international peace park established in western Montana? The Waterton Glacier International Peak Park, International Peace Park spans Glacier County and Alberta. Glacier Country and Alberta, Canada, founded in 1932 to promote friendship between the countries. But of course, Glacier Country's a much bigger area. Go to visitmt.com/giveaway. You can win a one-night stay at the Red Line Hotel Polson and an incredible scenic flight tour as well. Hi.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
All right, before we jump back into the phone lines here, one other thing I wanted to just add. I want to describe a little bit more of that tourism package that you've got the opportunity to win. Yeah, the time went by so quick there heading into that last break. So again, visitmt.com/giveaway. That's the website you go to. And this is our Glacier Country giveaway package. Apparently, they will pick the winner at the end of the week. But this is what you win: one night stay at the Red Line Hotel in Polson, a gift certificate to the East Shore Smokehouse, and you get a scenic flight tour with Blue Goose Aviation. So anyway, good stuff. Visit mt.com/giveaway. All right, into the phone lines we go. We got Mike in Big Timber. Mike, what's going on? Good to hear from you.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. Two comments. First of all, I don't know, you mentioned Mark Levin's show. Did you know that he's not very happy with the Director of National Intelligence, Chelsea Gabbard? I don't know if you heard that.
I didn't hear that part, but it wouldn't surprise me because, let's see. Well, first give us more of your thoughts, and then I can jump in.
Well, okay, yeah. Mark mentioned that last night, I believe it was on his program, that she's not even she's not attending the meetings with the president. He's like said, no, I don't want you in the meetings. Apparently, there's some leaking going on to the press, as usual, within an inner circle. And I don't understand how these people would act like that.
Well, interesting. Yeah, I wonder if what's going on. So Sam Faddis, I don't know if you recall that name. He's joined us on the show a few times before. Mm-hmm. Sam Faddis, former CIA operations officer. He headed up their counter weapons of mass destruction outfit, their CWMD, which, of course, nukes fall under. But he had a post, he had a write-up on Sunday, Iran's nuclear program. Somebody was very, very wrong about the Iranian nuclear weapons program. I'm betting it was us. So basically, back in March, he writes that Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard said that the intelligence community, quote, continues to assess that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, and Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has not authorized the nuclear weapons program he suspended in 2003. And then, of course, just days ago, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel had no choice but to attack Iran because the Iranian nuclear weapons program had advanced to the stage where Tehran was on the brink of fielding operational nuclear weapons. I think what President Trump has seen is that our intelligence assessments and these intelligence briefings, they're in dramatic need of reform. And basically, you've had deep state operatives that use these so-called intelligence reports to undermine the country, to undermine President Trump. And look, the Obama regime, the Biden regime was bankrolling essentially the terrorists in Tehran. And so, yeah, I think that's what may be happening here is that President Trump just knows that these, intelligence assessments from all these deep state operatives at all these various agencies that he's not getting accurate information from them. And oftentimes they're leaking those intelligence assessments to the press to try to undermine him and to undermine the country.
Absolutely. And by the way, one last thing. I ran into Henry Kriegel yesterday at Bozeman. He might be reaching out to you. He's very upset about the coverage that was given on that King's protest. I think he said that the Chronicle said that there was 3,000 people out in Bozeman protesting. When I don't believe there was anywhere near that number.
Yeah, what did Henry think about how many were actually there? The media loves to overinflate the numbers of the anti-Trump protesters. But if you had 3,000 people out, they'd be like, well...
He wasn't very happy, and I won't repeat the words he was using. but he likes to get to the truth. Henry's a great guy.
He's great.
Several times.
He's been a freedom fighter for a long time. Yeah. Well, tell Henry to call in. Yeah, and sound off. We got the phone lines open right now. Yeah, I'd love to get his take on these so-called No Kings protests and how many people actually were there, how many people actually showed up. I'm with John Jackson. I hope the Democrats keep doing these protests because they're just making themselves look worse. They're just forcing themselves into an even smaller box that they can't claw them their way out of here, and they're adopting the most crazy far left positions you could even imagine, and they're doubling down on the insanity that cost them the elections last year. Mike, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. By the way, I did see Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy must have just been on CNN. I don't know if this was late yesterday. Looks like it was last night. Looks like he was on with CNN last night. Here you go. CNN asked him about regime change in Iran.
Do you support regime change in Iran?
Regime change can only come from one place. That's the people of Iran. They have to make that decision. We've learned that the hard way in Iraq and Afghanistan. I was part of both those wars where we chose to change regimes. And guess what? We ended up there in a long time in a war we didn't understand, fighting for something that not all Americans agreed with. So regime change comes from one place. That's the people of Iran making the decision to decide if they want to continue to live under the yoke of a murderous regime or if they want to overthrow that regime and return to the relative prosperity and freedom that Iran once enjoyed.
So you think the president should rule out regime change in Iran?
Regime change is not our decision. It's not America's
choice. Well, I mean, the president was saying today that they could take him out, that he's safe for now. I mean, he had that caveat there that obviously is not
reassuring. Sure, the president likes to negotiate. The president likes to know that all the weapons are on the table in a negotiation. So, frankly, I think he's handling this perfectly. I think he's making it clear, like he has in most of his other negotiations, that anything is on the table. But I think he's also been very clear that he doesn't want to be opening up new fronts of war anywhere, but especially in the Middle East, where we've been, frankly, fighting nonstop for almost half
a strike.
Yeah. He basically kind of echoes the point that Mark Levin was making there is that President Trump is trying to end this war that has been going on now for decades. Next up on the phone lines, and the number for you, 406-294-0970. We got Willie in the Paradise Valley. Willie, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning. I was just thinking about this Iran deal as an Iranian deal, but they had a clip off of one of their state propaganda TV shows here several years ago after Obama gave them all that money, and then they made the deal that they had 20 days before the inspectors could go in and check for nukes and all that stuff. And what really struck me was the people that were on the program were just laughing their guts out. And they started laughing so hard on TV, they actually fell to the ground and had tears rolling out of their eyes that the United States had given them all this money and then gave them and then had 20 days to get themselves in order before the inspectors came in. So I thought that was kind of ironic, even on what's going on now, how stupid that these people have been so far.
Yeah, you know what that reminds me? That reminds me. Remember when Obama got adopted into the Crow tribe? And look, I talked with the former Crow chairman, and he said, well, I think, you know, people thought, well, if we adopt him into the tribe, that maybe he might, you know, think of us and make some decisions that benefit us. And then he didn't. And then instead, Obama deliberately started targeting Crow coal and started killing their jobs. And so what a contrast here, where you've got the Iranians on state TV laughing at the United States of America under Obama, under Biden, getting all this money, getting all this cash so they can, unleash Iranian energy. And at the same time, the Biden and Obama regimes were shutting off American energy and killing Crow coal and then killing Colstrip 1 and 2 and killing doing what they could to kill American agriculture as well. But the Iranians are laughing because here's the U.S. government doing everything to help them.
Yep. Thanks, Aaron.
Hey, thanks. Actually, Willie, can you stick around for one more thing?
Yeah.
Did you hear what Jim Acosta had to say about farmers and ranchers? You're in great farm and ranch country there. Did you hear what Jim Acosta had to say?
No, I hadn't.
Well, let me throw you on hold. Let me play it for you real quick. Hold on 1 second.
The far right in this country has kind of figured out a way to infiltrate, the heartland and to, basically pull, mom and pop from the farm to their point of view. And as it turns out, a lot of those folks vote in these elections, and a lot of those folks have been completely led astray. I hate to say it, but they've just been completely led astray. And we've all just let this happen on our watch, with essentially a business model for delivering the news in this country that just does not work anymore.
All right, so basically Jim Acosta is complaining. He basically says farmers and ranchers aren't capable of thinking for themselves. Your thoughts, Willie?
Yeah, well, that brings to mind, I mean, how many farmer ranchers or anybody else that makes a living out here in the country and everything else is that they got to get up before anybody else in the morning, and they usually don't get to bed till nightfall, and if something comes up, they gotta think on their feet and get it fixed right away and stuff. And these people back in Washington D.C. and all these people that are on these TV programs have never done a day's work in their life, and
yet they think they're so smart. Great point. Hold that thought. Gotta take a break.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
There are really three ways to take out that site. The first two options are not good options. One, the Israelis can go it alone with a tactical nuke. Nobody wants that option. Option two, they can send in commandos. That would be a great risk and harm potentially to Israeli fighters. Not the best option. But controlling the skies, the best option would be bunker buster bombs. But Israel, according to reports, they don't have bunker busters. That would take the U.S. not only to provide it, but probably to complete the mission, because they don't have the B-52 that would be necessary to deliver that bomb.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, did you hear that Florida just legalized gold and silver? Yep, my new home state, the free state of Florida, has made it legal to use gold and silver as money. Now, Governor DeSantis explained it all by saying, this is our ability to give you the financial freedom to be able to protect yourself against the declining value of the dollar. This is exactly why I partnered with a top precious metals company myself. If you want to learn more about how gold and silver can help protect your money, if you want to inform yourself, do your due diligence, reach out to my partners at Goldco. They're a great company. I'm a customer. They've helped me out tremendously. Check them out on the web, HannityGold.com, or call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD. Get their free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. That's 855-815-GOLD or HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com.
New
News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Providing Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so it was the Daily Caller, thedailycaller.com, had this report. Jim Acosta doesn't think farmers, or ranchers too, are capable of thinking for themselves when voting. Former CNN host Jim Acosta apparently was speaking at a Center for American Progress discussion. That's a far-left outfit. And he was talking about how the far right has figured out how to infiltrate the heartland and get farmers to side with the political right. While name-dropping the late conservative host Rush Limbaugh, Acosta argued that many Americans are not getting their information from reliable news. Oh, for Pete's sake. Yeah, reliable news like the fake phonies like him who pushed the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, like the fake phonies like him. Oh, there's no way that COVID-19 came from that lab in China. We could go on. Oh, Joe Biden's 100% with it. Sharper than he's ever been before. No. Yeah, tell us again, Jim Acosta, about the reliable news and information out there. Man, but this whole idea that farmers and ranchers aren't smart enough, I mean, Willie in the Paradise Valley, just his knee-jerk reaction that we got live on the air was spot on. These farmers and ranchers, many of them, they get up before everybody else to get working. And then if a piece of equipment breaks down, sometimes you just got to figure out how to fix it yourself right then and there. And then you got to understand markets, and then you got to understand soil science, and then you got to understand the economy, and then you got to... Oh, but they're incapable of thinking for themselves, according to Jim Acosta. AJ in Clyde Park, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Well, good morning. Thank you for the call. I just wanted to respond to Jim. What a ignoramus. You know, farmers and ranchers were the original conservationists. And I really hate that the left has described themselves as conservationists. They're not conservationists. They're using that term totally inaccurately. They are preservationists. And if you don't understand the difference between the two, you should look them up.
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves. When I read local media outlets and they describe these radical environmental groups that are filing a lawsuit against, you know, farmers and ranchers in the Paradise Valley is a recent example. They'll describe them as conservation groups. They're not conservation groups. They're radical environmental groups. They're not doing what's best for the environment. They're not trying to conserve anything. And to your point, but before I say more, I mean, but yeah, to your point, they always get described as conservationists. The liberal media always tries to spin them in the most positive light possible.
That's correct. And the two words are totally not, you know, the same. Conservation means use and preserve. Preservation means sit and look at and do nothing with, in simple terms. So,
yeah.
You know, you hear these people talk about this stuff all the time, and hell, we're the original ones. You know, we're the ones that take care of everything and keep it going, moving forward, versus sit there and watch it burn.
Yeah, which is what these radical environmental groups do. They want to sit there and watch it burn. Well said, AJ. Thanks for the call. If I had time left in the hour, I would play this trailer for this new documentary that's coming out. It's called The Real Yellowstone by Flathead filmmaker Tom Opry. But in that video, there's ranchers, Montana ranchers, who describe exactly what you were just saying here about how we are the real conservationists. We are the ones that have protected this land. And in many cases, improved the land when it comes to wildlife, habitat, and so much more, because we depend on the land. So that's why we protect it. That's why we improve it. Anyway, thanks for the call.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You might as well stick a fork in the old Republican economic growth strategy, because it's done. The machinations of the tax and spending bill making its way through Congress are the end of the road for an idea that defined the party since the days of Reagan. The idea was simple, even if it has been a political failure. Cut tax rates and broaden the base. Eating your vegetables to have your dessert, you might say, and or at least rein in the urge to reward and punish behavior in the tax code through the use of endless deductions and credits. And in doing so, we can lower the tax rates to reduce the load that taxes place on economic activity, spurring higher growth. The current version of this old mantra has two doses of dessert, lower rates and a narrower base. Tips, interest on car loans, overtime, together with a continuation of the lower rates due to expire in the old Trump tax cuts in the first term, is a double whammy to tax revenues that bond markets have noticed. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.